So, Brian, how was your week, man?
You know what? It was really good, really good. Got some things done at work. You know, it's beggar's night, so got to have the kiddos come over and get some candy. And luckily, they left plenty for the family, which means me. So you can't ask for more than that. So for those of you that maybe are not familiar with the terms beggar's night, I was not until I moved here. So beggar's night is when our community celebrates trick-or-treating. So we're recording this on All Hallows Eve Eve.
Devil's Night.
Yes. So on October 30th of 2022. So this, at least in the central Iowa part, which where Bradley and I both live, most places their night for trick-or-treating is on today and not tomorrow, which is the official Halloween day.
All right. Well, sir, are you ready to get going with the show?
Let's prevent some things, man.
All right. But first,
Yes.
before we start, Brian.
Yes.
What is the point of a number two pencil? And at what point do we call the number two pencil the number one pencil?
The point of the number two pencil,
See
as
what I did
Drizzy
there?
Drake tells you, is you started from the bottom and now you're here. So it's always to remind you that you came up through the struggle.
I like that. I think we should definitely go with that, and maybe
I'm sure there's
DC.
a real reason for it, but that's my reason.
I dig it. All right, let's get going. All right, welcome to the Fandemic Presents Revenge of the Nerds.
Yes,
We
sir.
are your one-stop podcast. Every week, we are going to give you all the things to level up your awesome. Just like if you order my book on Amazon for $7.99, leveling up my awesome.
Just
Yes,
once.
I wrote
First shameless plug. Yes.
I wrote the book on how to level up your awesome. All right. So this is how the show's going to go. We are going to start off by giving our top five for the time being, the week, the 2 weeks,
Yes,
whatever it
sir.
may be. We will give you our 2 cents worth and a penny for our thoughts about all the things that we like and maybe even some of the things that didn't quite live up to our awesomeness levels. Then we are going to tell you the stories that could have led to your favorite movies, TV shows, and so much more. It might be a list, it might be a pitch. One thing is for sure, you're awesome. We'll be leveled due to this. Just like if you buy my book, Leveling Up My Awesome, on sale now. To close the show, we're going to do some pitch, fix, or ditch. Yes, the pif patent pending, of course. We might do quick pitches, fix some property that desperately needs it, or ditch it all together and do something else entirely.
And
Yes.
remember, if you say that, not only will you owe us some type of royalty payment, you will need a handy wipe to clean off your face.
And the screen in front of you,
Yes.
or whoever's in front of you.
Your cat, your significant other, you
Right?
know.
I'm gonna do that to Kaylee when we when
Yeah.
I'm done. I'm like, "Hey, Kaylee, we poofed it."
Yeah. Mr. Rogers, RIP, you know. But you know who you can never on, sir. And that is the one, the only Samuel Jackson, where the L stands for
Yes, he made the Tales from the Jedi, which I'm guaranteed we're
Yes.
going to get into very, very
Yes.
soon. It wasn't
Yes.
him, but it was Mace,
Right.
and Mace
Right.
will
That
always
was
be
my
him.
end, the bear to lead. That was my only criticism of it.
Right,
Like the
right.
amount of money that they pay Samuel Jackson between the Marvel products and the Star Wars products, they couldn't get him for a couple 20-minute episodes, you know. So,
Yeah. I
but
bet
he,
there'll be a Tales from the Jedi with him, with Mace.
yeah,
I think
you
they're
never know
gonna.
the behind-the-scenes scheduling and all those things. So, yeah.
Awesome. All right. So I am the self-proclaimed Emperor of Awesome, Bradley Buchanan, and this is my co-host, the unverified twin to Shamar Moore, at least in the nipples.
Brian S. Dennis, where the S stands for parallax.
Yes, it does. Welcome to Prevenge of the Nerds streaming live. Where are we streaming live, Brian?
We're streaming live on YouTube. So definitely check us out. We're also on Facebook Live. And if you really are someone naughty, we may be behind you if you go Prevenge of the Nerds, Prevenge of the Nerds.
And the nerds. Just when you're saying that, don't forget to Twitch.
Very much so. Very much so. And anyone that has ever known Bradley and I in IRL, we bring the Twitch in.
Yes, we do. It's a beard, man. It's the beard. Yeah.
Okay. I just had a great idea. If we could ever make this happen. Since you and I bring the twitching, we should see if we can get the Maori twins from the Disney Twitches and Sister. And I say we do Prevent of the Nerds versus the Maori sisters. And let's just really see who really are the true Twitches.
You know what? I mean, I'll tweet them.
Yeah. Go for it. I'm going to Google if they have any significant others that are capable of doing great bodily harm to you, because I'm a coward.
I got you, buddy.
So I will sell you out in the quits. Yes.
Awesome, man. So, well, Brian, let's get right into what made your top five for it's about a week and a half, which we were going to do this earlier.
Yep.
Man, the last week just kicked my butt. Yep. With Black Adam coming out and everything, I was on overdrive, and I already rescheduled on a guy that I was interviewing for the pandemic twice. And so, man, yeah, it was hard. That was a hard week. But anyway,
well, isn't Black Adam more like Brown Adam? Maybe Mocha, you know,
Samoa.
Yeah, you know, possibly Hazelnut.
Right, you know, right. Yeah, you know,
those
Nutella.
So who would win in a battle, sir? The Scorpion King versus Maui versus Black Adam.
Us.
There we go, sir. Yes. All right.
We win.
So starting out my top five, sir. So my S is for Parallax, because one of the great things that I get to have happen to me is my day will be going just fine, and I'll get a text from my tag team partner, go, hey, this product just dropped. You got to check it out. So I got a text last week going, Green Lantern, Beware My Power just dropped. So again, I immediately leveled up my awesome and began watching Green Lantern, Beware My Power, for no other reason than it features my favorite Green Lantern, the one, the only, John Stewart.
Why, hello there, darling. Oh, she's being funny. She's whispering. Are you being scary? Are you gonna crawl through TVs?
No.
Leia, after we see you on the podcast, do we only have 7 days?
Yeah, good.
So, Leia, here's the real question. If your dad, myself, or the audience, once they see you on the screen, do we only have 7 days to make it right? Just go yes.
Yeah.
Perfect. All right.
All right, so, Brian, talk to you later.
Talk to you later!
Happy Halloween, princess.
All right, kiddo.
Mom roasted you a lot.
Yeah, I got roasted a ton by Leia and Kaylee. As a matter of fact, I even told them that I was gonna tell them on you.
Sure.
So, like, you know, hey.
Mama hesitated when she said she loved him.
Yeah, I'm like, Uncle Brian is gonna have some words with you. All right.
You know, when in doubt, roast dad. So
yeah, exactly.
Yep. Back to GL, Beware My Power. This was one of the we've talked, you know, and this will play into something possibly later in the show, but the Green Lantern has been one of those characters that they struggled to do right. So Green Lantern is very much the DC version of like the Fantastic Four. Like, they try multiple ways to do it, and you see good Green Lanterns good portrayals of Green Lantern in Justice League products, but you don't see a really great standalone, especially the 2011. Abomination that starred Ryan Reynolds. And gosh knows he tried. Yeah, so now we've got Jon Stewart and Green Lantern, Beware My Power, and it pulled together some major plot points that are really significant in the Green Lantern canon, as well as gets me really excited about what we may see next and the reintroduction of a certain character.
Yeah, so they announced that they're retooling the Green Lantern show to focus on Jon Stewart now.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah, yeah, which, I mean... Which it's the right answer. The only thing that could have made it better for me is if they would like, hey, and we are going to cast Kyle Rayner.
Sure. But I actually, a friend of mine's kid was over when I started watching it, and we got to have a deep discussion about are the Lanterns constructs based on their personalities? And he goes, wouldn't it be great if they were more creative? So I got to give your boy, Kyle Rayner, a lot of love. And I got to point out, Jon Stewart, veteran. By the way, I love the backstory that he covered in about 5 minutes, the PTS, those sorts of things. That was done so well. But then explaining, hey, there's this another Green Lantern who's super creative. He's a graphic artist, and his constructs are way more creative. So, yes, the constructs kind of follow the personality of the Lantern. So it was great. It was a pretty much flawless 90-ish minute film. Mm-hmm. And I've said this before on the podcast, where DCU beats Marvel is absolutely, more often than not, the animated products.
Yeah.
So the animated films, they absolutely do a better job overall.
Yeah, 100%, man. And I think I was going to rent it on the Redbox a while ago, and I just never did it.
Sure.
I don't know. But dude, that was so good.
It was.
Anytime that you can hear the oath,
you know,
it just kind of gives us something. And then, let's throw up the spoiler. Let's spoil it a little bit here.
Sure.
Where are we at? Where is it? There we go. Okay. So Hal Jordan is Parallax.
Yep.
Yes. We did it.
Yes.
And then he was working for Sinestro, the Yellow Core.
Then, of course, that dynamic completely changed. Yes.
Right. And it was freaking amazing. I love the setup. Sinestro looked really cool in it.
He did.
I love how they like were just touching on the Sinestro War.
Yes.
They didn't go full go at it, which maybe we'll get a sequel to it. I hope so.
I love their presentation of Adam Strange and Hawkgirl, Cheryl Hall. That was done so well.
Correct.
Yes. I've always had a soft spot for Shiera. And of course, if you remember back to the Justice League Unlimited show from, gosh, probably close to 20 years ago. Now, we know that there definitely have been scenes like previously linking Jon Stewart and Cheryl Hall, or AKA Hawkgirl. So I'm curious where that falls. And of course, this was because my son actually asked. So again, spoiler alerts. So when we see that Hal Jordan has become Parallax, been infected with Parallax, that's really kind of what happens.
Yeah.
We see him with 12 lantern rings. He has 5 on each hand, and then a couple fingers have an additional one. So, 10 plus 2, no, 14, excuse me. 14. Math, right? Mm-hmm. I'm a podcast, so I was not an accountant. But this was a question my son brought up, so I want to bring it up to you, Bradley. Which do you think is more powerful, Parallax with 14 lantern rings or Shang-Chi with 10 rings?
I like it, and I'm going to give that quick battle to the more I think about it, now this is Parallax, right?
Yes.
I'm going to give it to Parallax. Okay. I'm going to give it to Parallax.
Okay.
No matter who he's gone over, just because of the ultimate willpower.
Sure.
And because I think the willpower is what's going to take him over.
Gotcha.
I will say this, that actually reminded me of something that there's a lot more than 14 Green Lantern
rings. There's a whole lot more than 14
Green Lantern rings. Earth is there's what sector, Brian?
Oh, God. Don't do it to me right now. Is it
2014.
Thank you. Thank you. 2014. I promise if I would never forget that. And of course, when called upon, I forgot.
Right.
But
right.
there are dozens upon dozens of lanterns. And so the power vacuum with the Guardians, with Oa being in shambles, you know, there's so much that can be done far as the next step. And John saying he's going to rebuild the Lantern Corps. There's just a lot of things there that I'm really excited for the next one. And the last question I have for you, sir, again, there will be spoilers. So at the end of it, we see the defeat, ultimately, of Parallax and therefore Hal Jordan. Mm-hmm. So who do you think, we get a movie starring he who has yet to be named?
I honestly, if they do it,
yes,
they just that like they need to keep that casting really close to the vest and make it a twist like that. I mean, do something similar to the animated movie. You don't have to copy it, but we don't need or make it like a trilogy or something like that where he ends up being Parallax within three. But we don't need a lot of Hal Jordan in this,
right?
The Green Lantern Corps big.
Yeah, and the next act of Hal Jordan, the next identity that Hal Jordan occupies is a very major character. They've already had hints of him in different products. But, you know, we've got John Constantine, we've got Zatanna, we've got Aragorn. You know, we've got a lot of magic already in the DCU. So you kind of want to see the ultimate, and because I really kind of like Eclipso, so I kind of want to see, you know, that battle. But that's a big battle. So, and that could definitely, like you said, Eclipse. See what I did there? Some of the other things. So that was absolutely great. So I talked enough about GL, but where my power? Did you have anything else you wanted to throw in there?
No, I think we hit everything. I think we hit all the good parts. Go watch it. It's on HBO Max. Go watch it.
We did skip one part, which you alluded to earlier. I gave some love to your boy Kyle Rayner. I got to give some love to your boy Oliver Queen. I got chills when he did the oath. That was so cool.
Right.
When he taught John, and John is just like, oh, come on. And the power battery is just like, boom. You know, does the power battery use Wi-Fi, you think?
It must be. You know, and that brings up a really good point, too, Brian, is that, like, Green Arrow and Green Lantern are connected.
Yes.
They're all, I mean, like, Green Lantern and Green Arrow, they are always somewhere. I mean, like Green Arrow says in the show that Hal is his best friend and then kills him. You know, I mean, but Green Arrow taught John Stewart Green and the Lantern how to be a Lantern.
Absolutely.
That's even a whole nother level. I'm glad you brought that up because I kind of skimmed over that.
So, and again, every person they had in here that they gave some screen time to, they did phenomenally well. They really showed Rand more than a couple. I think Adam Strange is a character they've had a few things done, especially in the series, but not really delved that much into Ron and Adam Strange and the Zeta Beams, and they made him look like a total badass. They really did.
Yeah,
they really did. And it proved again, you don't mess with the Thanagarians.
Right. Well, I mean, the last time we saw Adam Strange was probably Krypton season. Krypton. But man, good job, DC.
All right. So I'm going to throw one more and I'll turn it over to you, sir. Have you been watching Peripheral yet?
I have not. It's on my queue list.
Okay.
And it's just I haven't got there yet.
Okay. Check it out. Again, I will save spoilers for this one because I want to get your opinion. It's three episodes in. So the first week, it drops on Fridays because it's in. By the way, you already said it, but Green Lantern, Beware My Power, is on HBO Max. Peripheral is on Amazon Prime. We have three episodes. The 2 weeks ago, the first Friday, it dropped two episodes, which is not pretty standard for Amazon series. The first week, they give you a couple threes, sometimes four. And then we had one with this one. When I was thinking about how just to encapsulate it, and I'll, again, leave it alone, is think of if The Matrix and Inception and Sucker Punch had a baby. And all the best parts of that. All the best parts of that. As someone that has struggled to get into Westworld, this is what Westworld should have been. I mean, it is done just really well. is done smaller bites. Chloe Grace Moretz, who is AKA Hit Girl, does such a phenomenal job as the lead. I got to give a lot of credit to Vets in it, so I think you'll dig that part. It's done just extremely well. So again, we get a chance to check it out. Most of the episodes, again, because it's Amazon, they tend to drift a little longer, like around the 70-minute mark. Mm-hmm. But it's a fairly fast-moving show, and I really just enjoy it. So check out Peripheral.
You know what? We'll probably watch it tonight.
Perfect.
Yeah. All right. Anything else?
I'm going to leave Star Wars Tales of the Jedi to you because I get the feeling you are chomping at the bit for that one. So my last one is the season finale of House of the Dragon. Mm-hmm. Again, we didn't record last week, so this is actually again, we're recording on a Sunday, so this will be the first Sunday that House of Dragon would have wrapped. Have you had a chance to watch the season finale?
I did.
What are your thoughts?
Wow.
Yes.
End scene.
Right.
It just proved how big that freaking that dragon is. The stole. I can't think of the name. The stolen Aemon. Dragon.
Aemon stole. Yes.
Yeah. Definitely set himself up to be the big the jerk guy. You know, the asshole.
Yes. He set himself up to be the Jaime Lannister of the next season.
Yeah.
While his older brother Aemon is definitely setting himself up to be the Joffrey Baratheon. Of the next season. And the only thing I can say about it is those folks in King Landing, you know, Jerry Springer really needs, or Maury needs to really show up with some DNA testing, man. Like, that could have solved so much drama in both House of the Dragon and Game of Thrones if we just would have had a DNA test handy. Like, let's just check.
Right?
Let's just check. Right?
I mean, and the fact of the matter, they just don't open up their eyes to check.
Yeah.
Well,
yes. Evident by Joffrey, all of Cersei's kids in Game of Thrones, and very much evident by all of Rhaenyra's children. Well, all but one children in House of the Dragon. And again, it was just done really well. And I love the fact that as it kind of went full circle, we started the season with Rhaenys, the queen who never was, being kind of this sad, she really should be queen, but everything was taken from her, and how dare she date a black guy, thanks internet trolls, or marry a black guy, thanks internet trolls, to really being the, outside of, you know, her nephew, really probably being the most badass character, you know. And I was really excited, this is why I close it for myself, is and this was not done accidentally, you heard them list off names that they are reaching out to for the coming war, and we heard Lannister, we heard Tully, we heard, of course, Stark.
Mm-hmm.
And that is really good. So we will definitely, I think, get some Winterfell in season two. And you never know, winter may be coming.
So it is confirmed they are going to Winterfell. I saw something about there's some fan castings for who's going to be it. But
sure.
But yeah, the only thing I'll say about the queen that never was, why didn't she roast? Why didn't she roast all the Hightowers?
Yeah.
I mean,
I got to give her credit. You know, they did a great job of her saying, you know, that, and again, spoiler alert, that a war is coming. There's no way around it. That a war is coming between Rhaenyra's family and Allison's family. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the Greens and the Dragons, basically. The Green Dragons and the Strong Dragons. We got a lot of that going in, and I like the fact that she goes, you know, it was not her place to start the war. She could have ended a line, she could have stopped or started a war just with that beautiful word vicarious, and that was almost my clue this week. And she didn't do it. And think about just what a mic dropping flex that is. I could have roasted your entire line. Have no doubt about that. With one word out of my mouth, I am basically the hand. you know, my niece becomes queen. Obviously, she's going to make her the hand, and we rule. We win. You know, she literally had that Bruce Willis, we win, you know, moment from Armageddon, and she just didn't do it because, again, because that's what you would do with someone that wants to rule. If you want to rule, you go do it. You make those decisions. So I thought it was fantastic.
I did too, man. I've been really happy with House of Dragon. Mm-hmm. Now, anything else you want to say about House of Dragon?
Again, that ending scene. I rewatched. I love the episode, but I rewatched that ending scene. Just the amount, and I want to give HBO and the showrunners so much credit for a scene that is legitimately not very long. I mean, I didn't time it on my stream, but I think it's everything hits the air, and I'll stop there. Mm-hmm. I think it's less than 5 minutes, probably closer to 4. Mm-hmm. But they did such great special effects. And remember when we went and saw Top Gun, and we talked about how you felt. What mm-hmm. it was like to be in that cockpit. So much of when they shoot the dragons, it's showing it from the perspective of the people on the ground. So you see this big creature in the sky, and then you maybe see the rider getting close to land. Understand where they did this was, you'll be a total badass. You want to be a dragon rider. Mm-hmm. Okay? Because there's no seatbelt. There's no harness. You know, that's not a cockpit. It is you with your strength and your will. And to steal a thing from Aemon, you know, obey me. Well, maybe not.
Yes, exactly. It was really cool when he called out for the other dragon to do something. That was awesome. So, Brian.
Yes, sir.
Got to talk about Tales of the Jedi.
Dude.
Came out. It's like one of the best hours and 10 minutes of your day if you watch it all.
Yes, it is.
Oh, man.
6 episodes.
Woo!
It is 6 episodes. I don't think any of them are longer than 19 minutes long. So, to Bradley's point, if you watch all 6 of them back to back to back, it's an hour 20 minutes of your time. So, you can knock them all out. They're all interrelated. Dave Filoni, dude, how did they not have Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau? Did they just not know Andor was being made? Like, I don't understand. Which is actually caused me to check out of Andor even more. Because I go, this is the Star Wars that I want. This is Star Wars you've given me with Rogue One, with Book of Boba Fett, with The Mandalorian. I mean, this is with Clone Wars, with all these other things, and now you give me Andor.
Yeah.
I mean, Andor should be called Ambien. I mean, it's just so slow.
Andor is what you say when you're trying to decide what other thing in Star Wars you want to watch. Do I want to watch the old trilogy, the original trilogy, and or something else?
Yes, yes. I mean, at this point, I'm not sure which one is more problematic, Andor or Jar Jar. Like, at least Jar Jar, you could kind of look back and go, it's so darn tragic. He's trying, you know, versus Andor, you're looking like,
right.
I really think they thought this was good. And it has potential. It has moments. Mm-hmm. But it's just of a, you know, basically an hour-long show. If I get 8 minutes of interest in 60 minutes of time, and I've heard people go, again, a friend of mine loves the show, and he goes, you just got to give it a chance. You'll warm up to it.
I've given it plenty of chances.
I've given it. I'm 2 weeks behind because I just couldn't. I just couldn't.
I will say that the last couple episodes are starting to turn, but they're again like Andor has this problem is every time they do something right, they go back to that super slow pacing where the fire goes out. And I'm like, man, but you know what? What was your favorite part of Tales from the Jedi? Did you like the Ahsoka ones or the Count Dooku better?
My favorite was Count Dooku and specifically our girl Yaddle and Count Dooku. Just going full SmackDown,
man.
And legitimately, the Emperor Darth Sidious just back there, full cloak, and just the smirk,
mm-hmm.
just just that moment. And they gave us what we needed, because so many people have been, I'm sure you've probably seen the same thing, would be, okay, what happens to Yaddle? Well, we see her in a council meeting, and she's not there the entirety of the Clone War. Like, what happened to Yaddle? And they give us that, but they took it, they gave us hope, and they took it away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you go, oh, no, Yaddle. Oh, Yaddle. Oh, Yaddle. And it was perfect. It was right. Done, and it established, and it so made Dooku, which leads into what we're talking about for our revenge portion, which are our favorite villains. It made Dooku much more sympathetic as a person,
yeah,
which actually makes him a better villain.
100%, man. The fact that what drove him to the dark side was really the death of Qui-Gon Jinn.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, and how they kind of interlace all that. I tell you what, like the big takeaways that I took from that was that episode, and then the training episode with Ahsoka, where she met Resolve, the last one, where she met the sixth brother, the Inquisitor, and then killed him.
Yes.
Because I don't know how deep you've been in lore at all, or Star Wars.
Really. No.
Okay, so those are Crimson Blades, right?
Sure, absolutely.
So in order for a lightsaber to get a red Crimson Red Blade, you bleed the Kyber crystal, right? So it's hate. It's everything that you're doing in there, and that's how it bleeds it.
Sure.
So, when Ahsoka kills the sixth brother, the Inquisitor, I mean, pretty effortlessly, she takes his lightsaber, and moving forward, she has two white blades. The only way to get a white blade is to purify Crimson Blades. Which means her it's just another level of how amazing Ahsoka Tano as a character is. I can't wait for the show. And then the whole training thing, because they're at the end when she's walking with Rex to face all the stormtroopers right after Order 66.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it had all the times Anakin was forcing her to do everything.
Sure.
I mean, when Rex is like, are you ready? This is what you train for. You know, I got the feels. I was like, oh.
Absolutely.
Man.
And of course, you know, she had her Hakuna Matata circle of life moment at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And it's like, there it is. So you're right. It was so much about with Tales of the Jedi, so much to do with Ahsoka, so much to do with Count Dooku. And then you had your drops of Qui-Gon with Liam Neeson's voice. You had Yaddle, which I believe you said was Bryce Dallas Howard. And you did get some Mace Windu, but not with Samuel Jackson, where the L stands for Marvel. I mean, Marvel, why not?
Right.
Like, yeah. You just got a feeling. Yeah. And you just got a feeling that, and again, I think we said this in the pre-show, you never know about scheduling stuff, but part of me really hopes that, he's sitting in on his couch, he's turning on Disney Plus, he goes, I wonder what's out here, he sees Tales of the Jedi, he's probably flipping through the first few episodes, digging it, and then he sees himself with Count Dooku, and he hears the voice, and you just know.
Mm-hmm.
You just know his, I'm sure, palatial estate was filled with mother, and it was beautiful. That's what I want.
Right.
That's what I want, by the way. Yeah.
I think that we're going to get, I know we're going to get more seasons. I would like to see Tales from the Sith, of course.
Yep.
But I think we'll get a Tales from the Jedi, and there'll be that focusing on Mace Windu.
Yep.
He's too cool of a character to not do anything with, and enough time has gone by that I'm like, I wouldn't be surprised if he shows up in Ahsoka.
Sure.
I mean, that'd be good because there's a lot of history there with Ahsoka and Mace for sure.
Yep.
So, are anything else you want to talk about Tales for?
Nothing about Tales. My last thing I'll bring up then is the rest is all you, sir, which is, again, we talk so much about sci-fi and fantasy and the things that are on Disney Plus. I want to give a nod to a couple interrelated shows that are on ABC, which are truly, I am a huge fan of, which is The Rookie and Rookie Feds. Just great shows. Nathan Fillion, Niecy Nash, if you've not checked that out, it is not a fantasy show. It's kind of an old school, kind of like 80s, early 90s cop show, but done just so well, and I kind of want to see Nathan just, break out the oath,
Right. I mean, like, so I love The Rookie. And The Rookie Feds is hit or miss for me.
Okay.
But like, because it's just like, okay, like, you got to give me a little bit of realism. They're not going to put this brand new Rookie Fed into
two of them,
all in all this stuff. Like with The Rookie, they had to train him. And yes, like, you got that set.
It was very slow. You know, that first season with his training officer. And again, The Rookie also, and I got to give Rookie credit as well. The Rookie has had some significant cast changes over the, I think, 5 seasons.
Yeah.
And all the changes have, I think, made the show better. Mm-hmm. You know, they've had changes in training officers, they've had changes in rookies, they've had changes in leadership. And you got to give it to Rosalind Dyer. I mean, talk about, you know, and again, as we hear it at Prevent the Nerd say, there's no such thing as a good gender.
Don't sue us.
I mean, can you actually be in a court of law without a soul? Because remember, in our judicial system, we have, you know, in God We Trust and all these religious icons in our courthouses, that they may be hallowed ground. So they may be safe.
Have you seen the thing I saw on TikTok the other day, that on the back of the dollar bill is an actual alien? Yeah, look, you'll have to look up, and I can't.
I will. I'm also a fan of whenever TikTok tells me not to look up something, I don't do it.
Right.
I mean, TikTok. Your stream, by the way, he's not mentioned that Bradley Buten has a TikTok channel, and you're at one of the top tiers of my algorithm. It doesn't take me long to scroll through before I get some sage words of advice from your tag team partner. But occasionally I'll get someone, hey, don't look up, and I go, mm-mm. Don't gotta convince me. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Nope. Yeah.
Yep. Oh, awesome. But yeah, Rookie 911 is another good show.
Yep. Yes.
Blue Bloods is
really good.
He
gotta give Tom Selleck credit. The guy's still really good looking and really good shape. You know, I gotta admit though, I kinda want, you know, Donnie to go write stuff.
I know, right?
You know.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And they set it up so many times. They're like,
yeah.
There's one, like, he was going to a karaoke bar with the psychic in one episode. And then, like, they call him up and then they go to credits. And I'm like, man, what are you guys doing?
That's what you want. That's very much to Chris Evans, you know, with Age of Ultron, Avengers. And then we get the end of it. That's pretty much good. That's what we want, but we will get it. And I got to give them credit. The fact that we don't have copious Wahlburgers drops in the show makes me happy.
That makes
me happy. And thankfully, we've not had Marky Mark walking through with Justice Calvin's on, because, you know,
I forget about that.
No, I'm not going to lie. I had a weird summer one year after his album came out, and he was telling about the Good Vibrations, mm-hmm. and Brian was home alone, and the video was on a lot, and I'm sitting there and just in my bedroom with no one in the home, and, you know, and the shower was empty, and it was just raining in my head, and I'm gonna stop. So, you know, I wanna, so you know, I'm proud of that journey. Thank you. I'm very proud of that journey. And, you know, we are all a tapestry. But, you know, I did have to follow, you know, my own awareness and becoming that I, and again, I do want this as a scroll at some point, tag team partner, that again, at the end of the day, Brian Dennis, I love me some me.
All right, well.
All right, sir. Anything from you from their top five? Anything else you want to make before we prevenge these things?
Yep, I got a couple last things.
Let's do it.
One thing I want to talk about, I got an Uno tournament coming up at work on this coming up Thursday. And we're doing Hocus Pocus Bingo on Tuesday.
Nice. So
I got a couple things coming up. And then Black Adam.
Yes, sir.
All right, so let's throw out the spoilers things.
I have not seen it, so but feel free.
All right, I'm not going to go too far because here's the thing with Black Adam. It's 100% action.
Yes, sir.
It is action from the beginning to the end.
Yes, sir.
I will say this. Dr. Fate, amazing.
Good.
Hawkman knocked it out of the park with the freaking he calls out Nth Metal several times. I mean, like, there's definitely some hero gasms going on. Definitely watching Black Adam. They definitely. Yep.
You ever wonder if Logan is sitting over in the corner and he's and Hawkman and Hawkgirl, or Hawkwoman, are talking so much about Nth Metal? Do you think he sits there and has some like adamantium butt hurtness? Like, you know, I'm metal too.
Yeah.
You know, like,
or then you Thor, got
or Thor. He's like, dude, you want to go hammer on Mace? Let's do this thing, sir. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. And it's your normal rock movie, only upgraded several parts. Definitely go see it, man. Let me know when you want to go see it. I'll take
definitely
it, buddy.
Definitely will. I'm looking forward to it, and we'll move forward here. But I got to tell you, one of my absolute favorite, before I knew what an anti-hero was, you know, because both of us are in our 40s, before, you know, they really pushed people like Logan, and before Deadpool and Deathstroke, they really pushed us anti-heroes. The first villain that I really found sympathetic was Teth Adam, aka Black Adam. He's always been one of my favorites. You know, and I ain't gonna lie, when we had the Marvel family, I honestly was like, you know what? I love Billy Batson, love Mary Marvel, love Captain Marvel Jr. In fact, one of my first emails may have been Captain Marvel Jr. 76 at AOL.com. Not gonna lie. I love Freddie Freeman. But once they expanded that Marvel family, and that was the only thing I didn't like about Shazam. You know, that Marvel did it great with Love and Thunder, with how you bring kids in. I felt like it was a little forced in Shazam. But anyway, I've always loved Black Adam, Teth Adam, and with Osiris and all those things, Isis. So I'm so glad to see, and this has been a movie that's been a long time in coming. Dwayne Johnson has a very busy schedule, plus COVID, which got in the way. I was really worried the film would be canceled. And to hear that, and number one, is doing really good in the box office, but also to hear that fans love it. After I'm going to flip those. That fans love it, and that's also doing good in the box office, which means we will not be done with the Black Adam character. So I will holler at you. We will definitely go check it out. And I'm just really glad to hear it's a good movie. Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. Just to piggyback on Black Adam as a character, he's always been like super powerful, and you love him, but never really gotten his time to shine. So I'm glad he got this. It'll be interesting to see where they go with Superman, Black Adam, and Sam, because now we have all those characters.
Yep.
And you know, so I think it would be really cool to have Shazam learn some things from Black Adam.
Absolutely. Because
they're connected.
Yes. And that also goes back to, before we go too long on this, again, for us nerds with all this stuff, there's always been the Superman Shazam debate. Because, you know, Shazam or Captain Marvel, copyright infringement, had always, he's Earth's mightiest mortal. By the way, Superman is also mortal, I think. Unless you read DC 1 million, it's like, is he or is he not? Okay. Anyway. And so much that when you would have Supes versus Billy Batson, you know how I feel about Superman, they always could lean on that Billy Batson's a child. And he doesn't know, he can't really have the ultimate use of his powers. He's a kid. Even when you give him the wisdom of Solomon, he's still a kid. To hear that Black Adam, who's thousands of years old, had these powers since jump, really, I think, would be a great mentor. And I think if you've ever seen the Rock and Kevin Hart social media stuff, I think we could get that. You know, I think with Zachary and Dwayne Johnson, we got to have some slaps upside the head, just like, what are you doing? I think that'd be great. So I don't want to run into the ground too much, but I am so glad to hear that's a positive movie. It's doing well and that you enjoyed it, sir.
Awesome, man. Let's move on to our prevenge part of the show.
Let's do it.
What are we talking about today?
All right. So I got a request to do a breakdown of superhero villains, but specifically villains that are not in superhero movies. So let me explain how I envision that. Again, Bradley and I do not discuss our list. Mm-hmm. So we kind of come up with our own rules, if you will. So the way that I looked at it is this would not be any movies from the DCU, the MCU, no Hancock, none of those sorts of things. So anything that plays on those typical superhero, supervillain tropes, we're thinking that leaves a lot of stuff still in there. There's a lot of fantasy. There's a lot of sci-fi. There's a lot of action. There's a lot of drama. So I have my list of honorable mentions, then I've got my top five, and Bradley and I, as we typically do, we discuss these and see if we have any in common, sir. So, since I did all the talking, you want to start your list first, sir?
Yeah, so I got several honorable mentions.
Let's
and
do it.
I actually comprised my list the same way, and there's kind of, I have two sort of exceptions to that, and we'll get to. And I will say this: I didn't put anybody from Star Wars on there because I put that in that franchise,
okay,
like Marvel, DC. Okay. So I didn't put Darth Vader on there. I thought about it, but I'm like, you know, wait, no, too super powered, you know. So I kind of wanted to stay away from that. But let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, so my honorable mentions. I'm going to start with the Wicked Witch from the West. From Wizard of Oz.
Nice.
Okay. and just my brain is just, I was trying to think of, like, you know.
Very apropos for Halloween.
Right, exactly. And then, so from there, I went to John Doe from the movie Seven. Another great villain. I mean, mm-hmm. especially with all those twists and turns. And then here, the next two.
Who's a worse villain, John Doe or Kevin Spacey? Or Kevin Spacey.
Well, there's a case to be made for that.
What's in the box, Kevin Spacey? No! Okay.
All right. So the next two, I'm just going to say together. So I got Lord Voldemort, the one that shall be named.
Okay.
Yep.
And Tom Riddle. Yep.
And then Freddy, Jason, Michael Myers, aliens, predators. So I just wanted to say them out there. So, I mean, I kind of just grouped them all together because they're not really superhero movies, but
sure,
they got the franchises. And so it's kind of,
they've got a little extra oomph to them. They got a little mojo working. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Right. So, after that, I went to the demon from Exorcist.
Mm.
I got to think about that thing scared the crap out of me.
Mm-hmm.
And
Donald Rumsfeld. Okay. Anyway,
my last of my honorable mentions is Agent Smith from The Matrix. So just, you know, one of those, I mean, hey, we're really close to the 5th of November, so
yes,
I got to watch V for Vendetta here.
Yes,
in a couple days.
Oh, such a great movie.
Oh, I love that movie.
Such a fantastic. And again, someone that, I mean, we keep talking about what's going to be our Mount Rushmore. I don't know if Hugo Weaving makes Mount Rushmore, but between V and the original well done Red Skull and Agent Smith, I mean, there are just so many iconic characters, and that voice, Elrond, that voice is just incredible. I don't know who I would rather face as a villain vocally, if it would be Hugo Weaving or Alan Rickman, but those are just, again, just that quintessential, you know, European smug voice. Like, if they offered you a latte, you'd be nervous. Like, I'm good.
Right.
I'm really good. Okay.
Yeah, man. So here is my top five. Are you ready?
Yep.
I'm gonna start my top five with the shark from Jaws.
I gotta interrupt you real quick. I want to apologize to my third grade class. My mom watched Jaws and when it was on VHS, and she told me not to watch it, so I waited till it was. She went on a Friday and told me I couldn't watch it. Till Saturday, she was gone for a couple hours. So I watched it, and it made me afraid to get in the tub or take a shower. Here's the deal: Psycho didn't do a thing. Jaws, which you would think it would be the other, right? So I went in a comfortable amount of time, not letting neither soap nor water Touch Your Boy's Chocolatey Goodness, and it got to be a little odd at the school. So, which I then learned that my mother is scarier than Jaws. All right.
Tracks. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. We had a party at B&B Theaters this last week, and they did a show. They did a show in a Jaws. Sure. So I peeked in on that a few times. So it was kind of nice. All right.
You know, a movie is impressive. I'm done talking about this. When a movie, and this is not a good thing, but it tells you how a movie makes an imprint on society, where a movie makes us species endangered.
Yeah. Yeah.
We literally were on sharks for a long time, became endangered because of Jaws, and attendance at beaches in this country went down because of Jaws. I mean, not good to kill our fishy friends, because I love the cartoon show Tiger Sharks, but now that's a reference for you, but that shows you the power of that. So absolutely, absolutely.
I thought you were going to go to Jabberjaws, you know.
You know, I don't get how he plays the drums.
I know.
He's got the, you know, okay, still a line from, you know, Meet the Robertsons. He's got a big head and tiny arms, really flippers. Like, that's one, mm-hmm. Even as a kid, I go, he doesn't have any hands. Like, how's he holding on to the sticks? And I'm such a Scooby-Doo fan. I'm like, come on now.
Right?
That's like when you get those cheap, back in the day when PlayStation first came out and you had to create a character like on Mortal Kombat. And, you know, you were just changing the skin. Like, it's the exact same character. Like, Scorpion Sub-Zero was the exact same character. He just went from blue to yellow. You remember that? Yeah.
Yep.
So I'm just like, come on now.
Yeah.
Come on. This is Scooby in the game. All right. Anyway.
Rubble Raggy? Rubble Ryan?
Very good, sir. Very good, sir. I see why your wife married you. I really do.
Yeah. It's a beard. All right. Actually, yep. Maybe. All right. So,
boo boo. All right.
My number four.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this one could be arguably a little bit in a different way, because they did make more than one movie with this character.
Sure.
Hannibal Lecter from Silence of the Lambs.
Excellent choice.
You know, the prequels that they did at this were all fantastic.
Yes.
Red Dragon is still one of my favorite movies. I haven't watched that. Those movies are due for rewatch.
Absolutely. I personally like Julianne Moore a little better than Jodie Foster, as far as the betrayal. But again, just everything. Mm-hmm. Silence of the Lambs, Hannibal, Red Dragon. Mm-hmm. Seriously, again, if Sir Anthony Hopkins offered me $1 million, I'm really probably thinking it over. Like, yeah, but. You know, if he invited me over for dinner, and I'd be like, what's on the menu? And you know, he would glint and go, liver, nope. Don't even finish the sentence. No, I'm out, yeah. Stop, Tony. Yeah, all right. Okay, Odin, quit it. All right.
All right, my number three.
Yes, sir.
Colonel Miles Quaritch from Avatar.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen Lang. Such a man. I watched the Avatar 1 in theaters when it came back around in 3D.
Sure.
And man, he was such an amazing character in that movie. You liked him, you hated him, you knew he was the bad guy, but there's that little piece of like, he can do a lot of damage.
I gotta tell you, my friend, Avatar is a movie I've never liked. I've watched it multiple times. I want to get into it. Don't want to steal your time, but I know what it is. I am such a. When my son was smaller, our destination viewing on the weekends was Avatar: The Last Airbender, and James Cameron, in starting Avatar, copywrote that title for a film. So, and by the way, this is M. Night Shyamalan's fault that we wound up getting The Last Airbender and all the stuff that came. But I just felt like that was such a cheesy move. And so it spoiled the whole movie for me. And I've tried to watch it several times. I get in my feelings a little bit with it. And, you know, the other part of it is, what if someone just played with your tail? Like, what happens? You know, like, like if you're going to buy some stranger's pixel, starts blowing on it, like, is that an issue? Okay, we're going again. Okay. Do you, boo-boo? Do you? Okay, please continue. So film two.
Number two. This one, the movie is not as scary.
Sure.
But he's definitely a villain.
Okay.
John Kreese from The Karate Kid. Martin Cove. I mean, granted, they flush out his character a heck of a lot more in Cobra Kai.
Yep.
But, man, like, he's such a great villain. Such a great villain.
Mercy is for the weak. A man steps to you. He is your enemy. That an enemy, you show no mercy. And I could always hear, like, do we have a problem, Mr. Lawrence? Could you imagine that guy coming up to you and going, like, is there a problem? And I'm like,
no.
No, sensei. Good. Really, really good. And the little Asian man was mean to me, so go beat him up. Yeah. So absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, I'm sure you know, but they tried several takes of that famous scene where he tells Johnny to sweep the leg, and poor Martin Cove just doesn't enunciate that line very well, and it sounds like sweep the lick, and it's just like, so you're telling a teenage boy to sweep? No, no, no. No, not, that is definitely not, you know, Miyagi-Do, because y'all asked me to sweep the lick. No, okay, we're going to go do you. All right, so, yeah.
Awesome. And then my number one,
sir,
is from the greatest of all Christmas movies. The first name that popped into my head when you told me this, no other than Hans Gruber from Die Hard. That was the first thing that popped into my head, man. I was like,
So first off, great list. We have three that match. None of them in the same place. We have three that match.
Okay.
And I will tell you where we had the same experience when I suggested that's the countdown that we when I talk about a countdown, when I actually put a little brain power, without a doubt, Hans Gruber was the very first name that came up. He is not my number one. Mm-hmm. But I go, which was the first villain that I really, as a kid, he was the Ric Flair of movies to me. I just wanted to see him lose it. I was so, I mean, he, Alan Rickman, RIP, did so much to make Bruce Willis into the movie star he was. Because we've talked about this before in the podcast, villains make heroes. Mm-hmm. Heroes do not make villains. Batman is not Batman without the Joker, right? So when wrestling, so I call it the one-on-one. We want to see someone lose when we want to see someone win. So he did such a fantastic job in losing the accent at that perfect moment. And, you know, it just made Bruce Willis, who again, for folks that are a little older, man, I know, you know, who Bruce Willis was before this. He was just kind of the chubby, you know, funny guy on Moonlight. No one expected him to become the biggest action hero for a hot minute, including he was not even on the poster when it first came out because they didn't want to highlight it was a Bruce Willis movie. They wanted to focus on Nakatomi Towers. So he did such a great job as the villain that he made a hero, and we got four really good movies and a few others. And then we also got, you know, so many other things that Bruce Willis is. And by the way, someone is also struggling with his health right now. So Bruce Willis, hopefully somehow we can see you on our screens at some point again. But yeah, that's a great list, man. That's a fantastic list.
Yeah, dude. Like I just, as soon as you brought it up, I started thinking and Hans Gruber. And then I was like, the whole ordered part was kind of messing with me, but like, you know what? No, that's the first thing that popped into my head.
Yep.
I'm going with Hans Gruber.
Yep.
Brian, I cannot wait to hear your list, sir.
So I jumped all over yours. So I will give mine briefly because I totally stole some time. So I'm going to give you my five honorable mentions. And I will say none of my honorable mentions have any special abilities. So not necessarily my top five, but my honorable mentions are, and these are the ones that, again, I thought about. These are the villains that I wanted to see lose, but I also kind of was okay if they more annoyed me than scared me. So here we go. So number one is from The greatest time travel film that gave us 88 miles per hour, the flux capacitor, our buddy Biff. All right. Fantastic. You know, McFly, you know, the guy made you, we all cheered when he hit that manure truck and it filmed it and it filled his car and all those sort of things. And then when we get that at the end of the first movie, and by the way, if you haven't seen the first Back to the Future movie, what have you been doing with your life? We kind of gets his comeuppance. It was great. It was absolutely great. And he was nothing more than a bully. And I think all of us can relate to someone who's just a jerk. Mm-hmm. He didn't want world domination. He either wanted to pick on a smaller kid or make some money with gambling. Okay, so he was the StubHub of his day. By the way, StubHub, if you want to sponsor us, we would gladly put you over. All right. Next up, I had to go Stephen King. And my favorite Stephen King villain is Annie Wilkes from Misery. Something that you can see happening. Stephen King has thought about, he got, Annie was actually inspired by some stalker letters that he got that actually created her. And of course, I just love Kathy Bates with "Ya Dirty Birdie." Come on, man. Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. Next up, no superpowers, but is animated. Our buddy Scar. From The Lion King.
Yeah.
Yes. Pop quiz. What is the first word that is uttered in The Lion King? It's by Scar.
Yummy.
Almost life. Jeremy Irons, fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Next up. Talk about an anti-hero. So many of us kind of rooted for him, especially in the first two movies. But he is a bad guy. He is. He was a good guy that turned bad. He was a bad guy that he was a person that did bad things for at least somewhat of the right reasons. And of course, played incredibly by the one and only Al Pacino, Michael Corleone from the Godfather movies. Okay. And if you go, well, he was cast into that role. You know what? I know it was you, Fredo. I know it was you. At that moment, he submitted as a villain. Okay. And then my honorable, and this almost made my top five, because these were the folks that, again, as a kid, I just wanted to see them lose so much, which are the Fratellis from the Goonies. Oh. I just wanted to see the Fratellis lose. I love Slick Shoes, all the stuff there. As a kid, we all knew, similar to Biff, we all had jerks and bullies in our lives that we wanted mm-hmm. to be able to, you know, stand up to. We all ran it with some jerk adults, not adults who just weren't good with kids, or not adults that because we were kids, we didn't understand what was going on. There are unfortunately legitimate jerks who are mean to kids just because they can't be. And that was the great part of the Goonies. At the end of the day, forget One-Eyed Willie and the treasure. It was a group of kids more than even the developers. It was a group of kids standing up to the mean adults with Chunk, the one thing that's a flaw of the movie, showing a Superman shirt, but Batman. Cheering at the end of it. It was fantastic. All right. So those are my honorable mentions, sir.
I like them a lot, man. And when you said the Fratellis, like, oh my god, yes,
so great!
I don't believe my brain did not get there.
Joe Pantoliano, great job. Yes. Okay, so my next three are all ones that we have in common. So very here good. We go. So up first, Hans Gruber. I don't think there's any more we can say about this. He's fantastic. And again, thinking about Alan Rickman, he's great as a villain with the Sheriff of Nottingham. Definitely, you know, even if you knew the eventual twist at the end of Harry Potter, had an idea mm-hmm. at the end of Harry Potter, there's definitely points of time that Snape is completely unlikable. I still say he's Harry's real daddy. Fight me. But Hans Gruber, again, when it comes to that, yippee-ki-yay. Motherfucker. All right. Yeah. The only person that's better at saying MF-er is, again, just the third time I'm going to mention it, Samuel Jackson, where the L stands for.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Number two, we already mentioned him again, Tom Marvolo Riddle, a.k.a. Lord Voldemort. Okay. Again, has some powers, but what made him, and this was tough, I almost put Dolores Umbridge. Dolores Umbridge, I think, is a less likable character, 100%, but she's in one movie with a little bit of extra, right? But, you know, Voldemort is in every movie, save for, which movie is he not in? I love pop quizzing you, sir. Which of the Harry Potter movies is Voldemort not actually in? Of any form, whether it's Tom Riddle or Voldemort.
Is it the second one? Is it Chamber of
Secrets? No, that's where we get Tom Riddle. The third one, Prisoner of Azkaban, there is no Voldemort.
Oh, the best one.
Yes. Thank you, sir. The absolute best one. Okay. Yeah. And then the last one that we have in common, you're right. After Hans Gruber, the next one that popped up was the one and only, what's in the box? John Doe. And again, because he does such unspeakable things. We joke a lot about, you know, movies and, you know, hey, these are things you gotta watch back and play the nerd card and throw out, well, you know, when this film was made, that was in craft services. But I don't know about you, but when I watched that movie the first time, I saw it on the big screen, and seeing Brad Pitt's torture, when Morgan Freeman, it's such a great scene. And I believe Spacey won the Academy Award. This is, by the way, not a reference on Kevin Spacey the person. This is the role that he played. He's also really, I mean, by the way, he also happened to do The Negotiator with Samuel Jackson.
Another great movie.
Where the L stands for. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. But to hear Brad Pitt slowly but surely, and he goes, what's in the effing box? And you see, you know it's going to happen, but in so many movies, we've seen the cop push to the edge, but the partner or something happens to stop it. And you got to give the director, the writer, the producer, everything that they gave us. They gave us the ending that we needed, not the end that we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And I like movies that give us unhappy endings, because unfortunately, life is not always a happy ending, right? And we see that. And it's just so great. So great. I watched Seven pretty regularly. And by the way, Kevin Spacey was not in the movie very long.
No.
That shows you how impactful he was. I used to know the screen, I looked it up, but he's actually in Seven as Kevin Spacey, as John Doe, that we see his face, not with a mask or seeing his actual, you know, bad deeds. He's in the movie very minimally. So that shows the impact that he had. Next up, this was almost my number one, because I feel this person is truthfully not only the greatest movie villain, but just the greatest villain of all time. That this person truthfully is on Satan, Beelzebub, Old Scratch. He holds the entire, I mean, he is who Sauron wants to be. If Sauron had cataracts, this is who Sauron would be. He every year he takes a joyous day that we use at the end of our calendar year, where we're loving little boys and girls for being good, for being nice.
Are you going not, Buddy the Elf?
Not naughty at all. And he shows up and he ruins my Christmas damn near every year. My friends who give me Facebook posts and Christmas presents and anything else, you know good and dang well who you are. Number two, Buddy the Damn Elf.
Yes.
Greatest villain. And the only reason he's not number one, because all you know, sheeple out there will go, oh no, it's a wonderful, enlightening story. We love Buddy. You know what? You know, F around and find out. Okay. I tried to warn. Okay. This is in every horror movie you have this. Well, you got the black guy who's speaking common sense. I'm telling you who the villain is. I'm telling you he's going to end us all. But go ahead.
But make friends. There's a better children's book author out there. This guy,
absolutely. So I believe that's maybe number four.
Leveling up my
Ric Flair, Arn Anderson, Porch of the Day show. So absolutely number two is Buddy the Damn Elf, okay? And number one, while you said he didn't make your list because it may have been a little close to superhero film, I gotta give him to you. And because not only but he's actually sort of inspiring, you know. He's a guy, you could even say he's not really a villain, but other people like to cast him as one. He's a man that spends years trying to find his lost children. He is overcoming catastrophic injuries. He is living out the trauma of losing his mother at a very young age. He never knew his father. He was attacked by his surrogate father figure because he apparently had the high ground. And not to mention, he just could have used some Claritin. So the greatest villain of all time in my list is the one, the only, Anakin Darth Vader Skywalker.
I can't argue with that.
Obi-Wan never told you what happened to your father.
And again, every time, because it's just me being me, every time we have those great moments, and I know it's Scuba Gear that gives the vocals, I just would like for Luke to go, and for James Earl Jones to go, much better now, and then go, this is CNN. Yeah, all right.
You know, that would make an awesome commercial.
That would. All right, sir. So that's my list, sir.
I dig it. Very good. Very good. A couple things I didn't think about on there, so I can't really add much there. But Brian,
yes, sir.
I do believe you have some honest advertising.
I've got one honest advertisement because tomorrow is Halloween, and for those of you that follow my Facebook page, Brian Stephen Dennis, I share my distaste of lots of Halloween candy, but I gotta say this one takes the cake. And it actually is not candy corn. I talked about candy corn, but I feel that candy corn, for most people, there's enough people that understand the evilness that is candy corn that I thought about what is really the Buddy the Elf of Halloween candy that people seem to like. I don't understand. So with that, here's an honest advertisement for Take Five. We're not the Fantastic Four. We are the Horrible Five. This candy bar is the worst thing alive. Dry ingredients and a lack of taste. The only thing worse is eating paste. Candy corn is wax. It might as well be a crayon. Buying a Take Five makes you a complete moron. Indulge your palate and explore all flavors. This turd-shaped delight will do you no favors. It's the trick-or-treat season. We look forward to being scared above all reason. Take fans are bigger losers than those who committed treason on January 6th. Check your math from booming a snowflake. Instead of taking five, you should take a break.
Very, very good.
The honest ad for Take Five. And because it is a Reese's product, please don't sue us.
I actually like them.
Bruh, so you like Avatar and Take Five. That right there may break us. That right there may break us because I just can't quite. No.
Awesome. All right. So I got a couple of little piffs for you.
Let's hit it.
All right. So I got four piffs for you.
Let's hit it.
I'm sorry. All right. So these are the four songs that were recently on my playlist.
Let's hit it.
As I'm going on the car, and I'm like, you know what? I want to see what kind of movie Brian can make.
I'm here for you, man.
Soul Asylum's 1994 or 5 song, Runaway Train.
All right. So, Runaway Train would be the sequel to the movie Clue. So in this one, instead of it being Mr. Body in the mansion, it is going to be Miss Body on the train. So at this point, we have all of our colorful suspects looking at what's happening on the murder with the train. So is it in the dining car? Is it in the engine? Is it in the coal car? Sleeping cars, what have you. And as we get this, we're going to bring back, and I took my math, I believe Tim Curry is still with us. So we're going to bring in Tim Curry, maybe get the boys from Psych as part of this because I love their take on it. And we're actually going to make the sequel to Clue called Runaway Train a Clue movie.
That's awesome. All right. The only the other optional for that is make it a psych movie. Wait
fair.
For it. All right.
Fair. Or, you know, but I feel like they need to bring the ocelot from Archer. Serpentine. Okay. Hopefully people know Archer, because that's great. All right.
Oh, dude, we could do some episodes about Archer.
Yes.
I think my brain's going now. All right. Number two.
Yes, sir.
The Glory of Love. Peter Cetera.
Dude, that's not an earworm. I will never, I'm seriously, the rest of the night. I am the man who will fight for your honor. Yeah. Remember, Bradley, this not tournament. This for real. Like, I love the fact that he had to tell that to Daniel.
Right.
Like, Daniel's like, really? Really? Because I thought, you know, he's got my girlfriend, you know, by the throat with a knife. And he's telling me to, you know, come across the bridge. And, you know, he's been trying to beat me and kill me, like, the entirety of this two-hour movie. But right now, you need to tell me, like, this not, because, you know, there's no ref, you know, all that. Yeah. By the way.
And then we're going to become friends later.
Yeah. But remember, by the way, you remember that what we're told in Karate Kid is that, you know, the crane kick, there is no defense. He blocked it like an MF-er. Like, it totally was like, Johnny really wasn't that good. Like, you know, so anyway, because think about it. He was okay. Like, he's healed. He does rehab, you know, whatever. Okay. All right. Okay. Back to the Glory of Love. So I think this could be a really cool comedy where you have people on a dating app. And what happens is the dating app gets struck by lightning. And this even and what happens is no matter who you swipe right or left on, what winds up showing up is the person that is really supposed to be your soulmate. So the phone is telling you who you should be with, and you have people really, because that's not who they want to be with, trying to avoid it, and the phone kind of making them run into each other. So, oh no, my favorite coffee shop is closed today. So I got to went to the one across the street, and there's the person that I swiped left on. So I think it'd just be a cool comedy. You know, you could again have, you know, Sandra Bullock or whoever, maybe Scarlett Johansson in it, but that would be the Glory of Love. Again, playing with the phone and the magic where people fall in love.
And you could have like the maps, the app be about maps, like the this is the way to your one true love.
Absolutely.
And it just starts popping up at random times.
Yeah.
And people start following. That's a great idea. I like it a lot.
All right, sir. Next all up. Right.
Now, by a lot of my song choices, I think a lot of people could figure out. I listen to the hair metal pretty regularly.
Sir, yes. We've not had any poison, I don't think, when I'm a little surprised. So, yeah.
But the next one is Def Leppard.
Is it pour some sugar on me?
No, that would have been way too easy. I don't know.
It's supposed to be a family-friendly podcast.
Right.
I don't know if I could have came up with an idea that would have been okay. So, yeah.
Almost did that, but I went for Hysteria instead.
Okay. All right.
That's my favorite. That's my favorite Def Leppard song.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. So Hysteria, we're totally taking a hint from a Girl Interrupted from Shutter Island, where we get the inside of an insane asylum. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you can pull some Stephen King short stories to fill it up. This is where I would like it to be. So, I'm a big fan of Stephen King movies. I've read a few of his books. I love his movies. And Bradley, if you didn't know, the prison, Shawshank Prison, which obviously is the setting for the Shawshank Redemption, is actually the same prison in The Green Mile. It's the exact same prison.
Oh.
Yes. It's several years before in The Green Mile, before we get to Shawshank Redemption, and it's obviously on the mile, not Gen Pop, which is where Shawshank takes place, but it is the same. If you read the book, it's the same. If they don't name it in the movie, but if you read the book, the prison in Shawshank what Shawshank Penitentiary is the setting for the Green Mile. Okay. That being said, what if we followed Shawshank Prison and they actually have a unit for those who've been deemed criminally insane? And so I think you could actually do some spinoffs. You could have like, because I just recently watched The Green Mile, they have, you know, the isolation room where they take Wild Bill. That's why they have to take Percy. What if they actually expanded that when they cut? Oh my gosh, she's fantastic.
I know.
Seriously.
I know.
I'm a little concerned for you, my friend. But with that being said, it would be tales from the mental health ward in Shawshank. Also, you could do it very much like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. You've got a corrupt nurse, maybe a corrupt physician. Obviously, the warden is always corrupt. And again, so, and by the way, the warden in Green Mile is not the same warden in Shawshank Redemption. Mm-hmm. That warden has retired, and his predecessor, excuse me, his successor, is the warden we get to know in Shawshank. So anyway, but absolutely would do with hysteria the idea of the mental health unit in Shawshank Prison.
Night-night, Bonnie and Dennis.
Night-night, sweetie.
Awesome. I dig that a lot. There's a, you could do a lot with that, too.
Absolutely.
So, all right. This last one,
sir. Yes, sir.
Last one. I took some a little bit of Metallica.
Okay.
Enter Sandman.
I got an issue with this one because you and I both know where this should go. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe it was actually ever used in the series. But mm-hmm. you can't have a song called Enter the Sandman in 2022 and somehow leave out Sandman. There's no mm-hmm. way. So I'm going to, with this one, we're going to follow Dream from the Endless at his birth. So the Endless have always been there. So whenever existence started, Dream begins. And so in Enter the Sandman, that would have to be the premise. It would be a movie I would get as much of this cast mm-hmm. from the Netflix show in there as humanly possible. And it would be following Dream during his first few moments of existence and him becoming master of the dreaming. So that's the only thing you can do in today's world. If you do anything else, call it Enter Sandman, unless it is literally a biopic about Metallica. And even then, Lars Ulrich would sue you. Maybe that's why I wasn't in the show. Lars wanted too much money. If you gotta put it in there, so Lars, calm down. Okay, I still remember when he sued Napster and LimeWire. And
yeah,
I just want my music, man.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. I think, by the way, if in the afterlife, if we're punished for our misdeeds, Lars Ulrich, please don't sue us. But if there's any justice, when Lars Ulrich passed, but that was a very long time from now, he has to sit with the old school iPod and just listen to Winger on repeat. That's what I want. Okay, Winger or Nelson? You know what? Forget that. It'll make it worse. He'll listen to Nelson. Okay, he's got to listen to Nelson. Okay.
But oh my God! After the rant, I don't think he can live without your. I don't think he can live without your love and affection. Yeah, I know. I was too far into saying it. I know.
Dude, Bradley Buten, I love you, but you are not okay.
I know.
You are not okay, sir. All right. So how'd I do?
You did great, man. You got one for me too, right?
Yes, sir. So my and we'll do because we are at almost an hour and a half in our recording. Yeah. So just really quick, just give me a couple notes because we talked at the beginning about Green Lantern, Beware My Power. Mm. What are some things you would do? How about this? Let's just F it.
Okay.
So let's fix Green Lantern, the 2011 film with Ryan Reynolds. How do we fix that?
How do we fix it? Yes. Actually, Ryan Reynolds fits Hal Jordan.
He does.
I think that I think that Parallax is not the villain of of the movie.
That was such a bad version of Parallax, and it didn't give time for it really to develop. Absolutely.
Exactly. But Parallax could be the ultimate villain throughout everything.
Yep.
I think that the villain ends up being Sinestro in the first movie.
Sure.
Because he's gonna take the yellow power, he's gonna harness light, and he's gonna end up starting the yellow corpse, right? The yellow corpse.
Yep.
And then I think that this is gonna be a trilogy of movies.
Sure.
Well, actually, it's gonna be a trilogy of Green Lanterns, and then a movie, all of them are gonna lead into Blackest Night.
Absolutely.
I think that with that being said, the second Green Lantern movie, Hal Jordan is not going to be into it. So something happens and the Guardians and Oa tell him about this vision. And so he's got to start finding all the space cops, all the Green Lanterns. He's going to, because he knows Blackest Night is coming.
Yes.
But at the same time, Sinestro is going to war with the Green Lanterns on all the sectors.
Sure.
So we're going to get, in the second movie, we're going to get Kyle Rayner.
Absolutely.
And then, you know what? Honestly, I think we're gonna get Kyle Rayner, and we're gonna get John Stewart in the second movie, and it's gonna be about him building up the core, and then they're fighting the Sinestro Wars, and then we're gonna get some good cameos from Batman, Superman,
sure.
all that in there, so they can do the spinoffs for that, so they can have their own universe. Then the third movie is gonna be all out war. It's just gonna be Sinestro War.
Yep.
And it's going to decimate everything. And then at the end of the movie, so the little cliffhanger, you're going to see Necron show up with the skull of Batman. And he's going to reanimate him with a black lantern light. We're going to go black. And then you're going to just see the Blackest Night logo pop up.
By the way, this would be the role for Ben Affleck. Like, it's just cameos and then him beheaded. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
Like, having to show up, beheaded. And I love that. I had a couple thoughts on casting, if I can share with you as we're closing up.
Yeah, do it.
Absolutely. So for Kilowog, because again, the original voice for Kilowog in 2011 was Michael Clark Duncan, RIP. So then I'm thinking that's a great spot for Vin Diesel. So again, you just got a big, heavy bass voice. Mm-hmm. And then the one that is, so when you go to the Owens and the Guardians, I think you have one person voice all the male Guardians, and that is Peter Dinklage from Game of Thrones. He's a great actor. He could play with some vocal inflections. Or they could actually just have all the male Guardians look the same, not all female Guardians look the same. By the way, that would be Helen Mirren. And just absolutely, like you said, delve into it. And I think just because of a running joke, and my last thought on it would be, as you see the rings maybe going throughout the cosmos, including on Earth, identifying other lanterns, you see on a couch, passed out from drinking too much, you see Guy Gardner, and you see the ring hover over him. And because he's unconscious, it can't imprint on Guy, and it leaves to find another potential.
And it goes to Kyle.
Exactly. Because I never quite got Guy. Guy is not a problem, but I always thought, when you look at Kyle and Hal and John Stewart and Jade and so many others that have a connection with the Emerald Light, Guy Gardner's like, really?
Yeah.
I just make it Sergeant Slaughter at this point then. So, yeah.
Right, it's the hair. It's a hair for Guy Gardner. I mean, like, I don't doubt he's a cool character or anything. I think I even have a couple of Green Lantern books of him. But
sure.
I dig it, man. That's what I would do for it. All right, Brian.
Yes, sir.
Where can we find you, buddy?
As always, I said before, you can find me on Facebook. Brian Stephen Dennis, feel free to give me a friend request. Give me a follow. I try and keep it light, and I will fill your feed full of Winnie the Pooh memes.
Awesome. You can tweet at me at Fandemic3 or message me on Facebook at The Fandemic. I'm also active on TikTok at Fandemic1. You can hear my reviews and so much more. I'm going to be doing some more comic reviews here this next week, I think. I want to get back going on there. Now, Brian, we never gave a good shout out to our executive producer today, Stacy.
Yes, Stacy,
hope you're having a great weekend. If you want to support the show, there are several ways to do so. One, you can buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/thefandemic. And you know what? We will cheers you on the very next episode. You can find us at Patreon at www.patreon.com/PVOTNFandemic. You can become an episode assistant, an episode producer, revenge producer like Stacy, or become part of the con. Yes, the Council of Nerds, starting at $5 a month. You can become a monthly supporter like Stacy at anchor.fm/PVOTN.
Absolutely.
Go to PayPal and Venmo at Bradley Butane if you're feeling generous. Or, you know what? Just share the show with someone you want to make a little more awesome. And don't forget to leave us a 5-star review. Now, Brian, I think we have hit max levels of awesome for the week.
We have buried the needle, sir.
All right. Let's go ahead and end the show like we do every week on a positive note. What are your words of wisdom?
Thank you for leveling up your awesome with myself and my tag team partner. Please remember that Goonies never die and no retreat, no surrender.
We're all playing the same game in life, just on a different level. Thanks for catching up. You're welcome for leveling up your awesome. Live free or die empty. Have a great day. Yeah, I guess I'll get in trouble if we don't play.
You gotta kick that funky music, sir.
That's right. We've been talking about it all the entire night.
Get your earphones in, everybody, and everybody hear us out. We are Rob Uten and Brian Dennis, and this is PVOTN. We've got my dad leveling up your awesomeness, dropping knowledge of TV, movies, and comics. We've got Brian Dennis flexing his nerd muscles. How you level up your awesomeness? He will solve the puzzle. Just when you thought you've heard it all, a new episode will come along. Won't you like, subscribe, and rate our show? One last thing. Leave a 5-star review before you go. Oh, yeah.
Alrighty, before I hit the end button there, Brian.
Yes, sir.
What should our topic be for November?
I think for November, I think we acknowledge some of the better products out there. Again, things I've heard from some of our listeners, they really liked our, when we did Black History Month last year, where we talked about, you know, our favorites. So can we do one featuring women, featuring kids? So why don't we do our favorite with movies when it comes to like a particular type of lead? And how about next week we focus on women?
I like it a lot. Yeah, we'll workshop that. But let's do the things we're thankful for then for November.
Yep, perfect.
So, all right, women we're thankful for in the movies, and we're not going to go X-rated, guys.
I mean, you have to work on some scrolls before it gets to me. So,
yeah,
I'll retire the Infinity mug until we get to December. That might keep us there. Okay. Seriously, that would be great. We'll be doing it. So, for those of you, we'll be seeing you next week on Preventers and Nerds.
Bye.